Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it.
Black, white, right, left.
Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Welcome back to Whiskey Congress, the post-midterm election edition. Before we get to that, let's talk about Connemara, I'm going to say, peated single malt Irish whiskey that I picked up in New Jersey. It's 40%, so 80 proof, so not a real powerful punch, but I like it.
I do too.
I mean, it says it's peated, and it's not lying. It's got a lot of peat.
Well peated, well, you can taste the smoke.
A lot of smoke, I like it.
It's got like a floral honey sweetness to it.
Agreed.
Because it's a lower proof, there's no alcohol burn to it. But it's still a solid whiskey. I definitely would put it.
I was going to go 89. I wasn't quite going to get it across the threshold.
Yeah, so I'm actually willing to give it a 90, and normally I would like it to be a little stronger, but, maybe I'm bending on that a little bit.
Okay, well.
But I think it's really good. That's a good pickup by you.
It's not the mixture of being peated and smoky like an Islay Scotch, but having the sweetness of an Irish whiskey, I think is a really great combination.
Bump it to 92. One of our listeners actually corrected also. This.
Okay.
We're saying that wrong.
Was that Islay?
Mm-hmm. It's Isla.
Isla? Oh, yeah. We got corrected on Twitter, didn't we?
It was either Twitter or YouTube, one of the, but, you know, like, yeah. it seemed really annoyed by it, and I felt bad. I was just like, you know what, you're right, we need to say this right, so
okay.
It's Isla.
Isla, like an Isla Scotch.
There you go.
All right. So, before we get into politics, it is the day after a mass shooting in Thousand Oaks, California. I'm pretty much out of things to say. I mean, there's no... Legally purchased gun. The gunman was a former Marine. They said he had had some minor run-ins with the law. He was in a bar fight and he had a couple traffic incidents, but nothing crazy. His neighbor said that he had exhibited signs of having some mental health issues, probably PTSD, but that's hardly a diagnosis. That's a neighbor talking after an event happens.
Right.
Thousand Oaks is an affluent suburb of LA. I mean, mm-hmm. I looked it up. The median house price in Thousand Oaks is like $670,000.
Well, that's California.
That's California, so, too. And medians are a bit screwy, right?
Because they really are.
One right in the middle. There could be, but I also know it because Amgen is either headquartered there or at least has one of their big outfits there. So I know people.
Amgen
is one of the larger biotechnology companies in the world.
Oh.
And I, so sorry.
Nerd alert.
Whatever. I've had them as a customer and whatever.
Yeah. You're right when it comes to what can you say? And you look at these incidents, I have to look at it in isolation. This is different than what happened to, the kids down in Florida. This is, these events are just horrific, and I feel awful for the families, everybody involved, this guy's family, the families of the victims, it's just such a terrible, sad thing,
In this case, it was clearly a plotted attack. He threw a smoke bomb into the bar, then came in shooting. It was a bar that was hosting line dancing things for a bunch of college kids, so,
right.
Maybe we're going to find out that he had a beef with someone. He's 28 years old. Who knows? But not that makes it any better.
Right.
Other than, weirdly, it feels different when there's a motive because you don't feel like, it's just going to invade your life randomly. But the truth is, if you had a beef with someone, well, there were 11 other someones killed.
Right.
Including an officer. And
it doesn't make me feel any better whether there's a motive or not. There was a shooting earlier in the week. The guy at the yoga studio.
Right.
He walked in and killed two people. So, I think I don't want to have the gun debate. I don't want to have that conversation.
We've done it enough times.
We've done it. And, I don't know. I think at some point we have to look at the human element of this, and I mean, it's senseless murder, and I don't know if there's a law or a rule that changes this, right? If you want to get rid of guns, okay, but you know, what's the real effect? Even if you're able to tell the gun manufacturer, stop making guns, don't sell them to anybody, okay, fine. Even if you went that far, right? If you did that today, we still have more guns than we have people. So it's going to be 50 years before, you know, we see the real actual effects. And maybe not that long, but, I mean, it's going to take some time before we see the real effects. Now, not to say that we shouldn't do something. I'm just not sure what the actual solution is.
Well, I mean, you know, you say it'll take 50 years. The gun on the wall in our studio is probably about 100 years old.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never looked up the serial number and dated it, but that gun started getting manufactured in the early 1900s and was the British military rifle up through World War II.
But how many people could that, I mean, it's a bolt-action rifle.
Right.
How many people could that take out?
I think it holds 7 rounds. Okay. But it's not, when I bought that, as a birthday gift from my dad a bunch of years ago, and just because he had a fascination with that model of firearm, because it been used to kill so much big game over the course of the British taking over parts of the world. So we just thought it'd be cool to use it as a deer rifle in its primitive form. But anyway, I had to fill out all the paperwork to get that gun, just like I would have if it was a handgun. Right. And I joked with the guy at the time, like, how many crimes have been committed with 303 Enfields in the last 50 years? So, that's not a gun that's going to come in handy in a typical, shooting. It's big, clunky, and ancient.
Right. But I mean, it's still seven.
It's a high power rifle.
You know, I mean, it could still take out 7 people.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and, you know, even if you go down a shot, I mean, you can still, you know, like, so, you know, people talk about magazine capacity. There's an argument for it. I'm not sure if it really resolves anything. The biggest thing that we have to do are, you know, we have to get guns out of circulation, right? Like, I mean, like, we have to reduce the number of guns. I mean,
the number of guns, we need to reduce the number of people who have bad intentions from getting their hands on them. I don't know how to do that.
Right.
But, I mean, the fact that I have, you know, let's for argument's
sake. You have too many guns.
I do. I don't like using numbers, but I have more than I need for sure. That does not make me particularly more dangerous. You know, if I have two, I've only got 2 hands. So if I have 2 guns or 20, I'm only got 2 hands. Yeah, I don't know. I agree. It's another tragedy, what appears to be a senseless act, and there's no short-term fix. I mean, if we're going to try to change the country and change your attitude, I mean, you could argue the Australia model, I think they had a shooting not that long ago, actually. Yeah, all right. I mean, Steve, I'm not trying to brush off a serious subject.
No, I don't know what else to say. I don't want to brush it off, but it's just sad, and this is hard for me today. A good friend of mine, his mom just died. Not gun related.
Okay.
But it's like the whole death conversation is just not there for me right now.
Okay.
You know, and so I'm
sorry for you and your friend's loss.
She was a great woman. You know, Mikey and Mara are good friends of mine. And you know, she'll be missed. So
okay.
That's a conversation for another day.
All right. So we gotta talk election. And what was your takeaway coming out of Tuesday night? I stayed up all night. I met up with a girl that I'm kind of interested in. We're not going to get into that on the show, but I told you a little bit about it earlier. Don't be a dick. And we hung out, and I told her my plan is to go home, drink heavily, and watch election results. And she said, "You have fun with that."
Mm-hmm.
So I did. I came home, picked up the bottle of Abner Doubleday, which you may notice is now empty.
Yeah.
That's what happened. That was my Tuesday night. And what was your takeaway? And I'll give you mine.
So it's interesting. Election always falls on the week of the housing conference in Ohio, and that's where I was this week. And that's always an interesting place because a lot of the people there are there to support affordable housing. A lot of them lean, you know, progressively left. And it was interesting because that's where I was in 2016. It was definitely a different vibe. There was a lot of, like, going into 2016, there was just a lot of confidence that Hillary was going to win. Obviously, it's well documented. It didn't go that way. I did not have that same confidence. And so, you know, I was kind of standing alone that night. You know, fast forward to, you know, 2018, there was not nearly as much confidence, but there was a lot of energy. There were a ton of, you know, I voted stickers, you know, anyone who was from around, like, people were talking about it. And there was a lot of effort put into mobilizing people on the left. Democrats were able to, you know, make some hay in Congress, but they didn't get the Senate. Someone pointed out, Dr. Jason Johnson, he pointed this out to me and us on Twitter, because, you know, my thought was, I really didn't see a blue wave coming, right? And then I kind of asked the question, what does a blue wave look like? And he said, listen, the way districts have been gerrymandered and the way that, you know, some places like Georgia and other states were being very aggressive about how they were controlling their voting. I mean, some of it, I don't want to say voter suppression, but, I mean, obviously it's out there. It was an uphill climb for Democrats in Congress. And so for Democrats to be able to take over the House, I think that is your blue wave. And I think that is a referendum on Trump. And I think it is a referendum on kind of where politics are at. Now, the question is, what does that mean in terms of policy? Are we going to see better policy now that, you know, there's a direct check on the president? And I don't know the answer to that. I mean, because I haven't seen anything from a policy standpoint that makes me say, yeah, the Democrats finally get it, right? Okay. I mean, I think that, you know, a big part of what Democrats have done to this point have said, never Trump, resist Trump, fight Trump, everything anti-Trump. Okay, fine. But what does that mean for me and you, two middle-class guys, you know, living in Ohio? How are those Democrats going to help us and advance us forward? I haven't seen it. I don't know what the plan is. I'm not sure if they actually know what the plan is. And I have concerns.
So I was very skeptical about Democrats retaking the Senate just because they had 23 seats up. The numbers were terrible. The Republicans were only defending 8 seats.
Right.
And and most of them were in fairly red states. I didn't think Beto O'Rourke was going to beat Ted Cruz in Texas. I never got on board with that in terms of believing it was going to happen. But, I wanted it so badly. I just don't like Ted Cruz. Well, I think he's a smarmy dick.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a dick. God, I can't stand him. And I feel like he's one of those people that if I met in person, I just, you know, it's like that time I ran into Karl Rove. Like, if I had an opportunity to shake his hand or take a picture with him, I wouldn't.
Right.
You know, it's just like, I just because his personality to me, I don't like it. Now, part of that, I mean, so is he a good senator? I don't know. Right? I mean, in reality, I do not know if Ted Cruz is actually a good senator or not. I just know I don't like him.
Okay. I don't like him, and a lot of people don't like him. I know the president called his wife ugly, and he backed down, and then the president went out and stumped for him. Now, that's petty on my part. But
she's actually not really.
She's actually pretty attractive.
Not a bad. Now, so
and he outkicked the coverage.
listen, here's the thing. You know what's weird about that? So
that a woman would fuck Ted Cruz?
Well, there's that. But Two points, Jim, actually. What's weird about that, so Trump made that comment about her, and I was listening to a woman who did a story on Ted Cruz's wife, right? Now, and this woman, she's a very accomplished woman. She's got a law degree from Harvard. She's worked in Washington, D.C., I think she worked under Obama and
oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, so this woman's very accomplished. And she's driven. But when Trump said that, She went on this, like, she does CrossFit now. She only eats, like, one meal a day. And, like, she takes her fitness very, very seriously. And she says it's not because of Trump. She just wanted to take better care of herself. But the timing lines up. I mean, it was crazy. They were going through her schedule. Now I work out.
Yeah.
You know.
Noted.
You know, I work out, lift very, very heavy weights. And the workouts that this woman goes through, like, I question, like, the sanity of them. Right?
Okay.
I'm just like, this is
well,
a
she's
lot.
She's got to be close to my age.
Yeah.
Close
to, you know, mid-40s. And I think she's got 3 kids. So that's just interesting. I mean,
means the woman fucked Ted Cruz 3 times, which is even more amazing.
Oh my god.
Maybe. All right, maybe. So anyway, I think this election reminded me of
are her kids really tan and strong like me? Weird.
Steven. You do seem to know a little bit about her personal routines than I think you should. This election reminded me of a dirty boxing match where both fighters are getting, you know, warned for low blows and warned for holding, and then the fight ends, and both fighters go to the corner after the fight's over with their hands in the air claiming victory.
You're talking Cruz and Trump?
No, I'm talking the election
overall.
I think, you know, Trump and right-wing media are saying this is a victory. We gained ground in the Senate, and they did.
They did.
And Democrats are saying we've got the House, we've got a co-equal part of government that we now control. Also true. I'll be curious to see if Nancy Pelosi is made the speaker again. She's pretty damn toxic.
Listen, you want to talk about a person I can't stand? You put her damn near at the top of the list.
Why?
She represents her, Chuck Schumer, Maxine Waters. They represent the old guard of a Democratic Party that's got a really sketchy history, right? Which people, like, and conservatives talk about it all the time, but I mean, let's just be honest. I have a hard time, you know, based off of some of the things that she said, things that she's done, I just have a hard time believing that she truly has my best interest in mind, right? I think she is driven by power. She's driven by money. She's driven by staying in power. I think if she was truly mission-oriented, she would have stepped down a long time ago because she is so toxic, right? I mean, and she's an easy punching bag for conservatives on the right. And if you're truly mission-oriented, then how do you continue to sabotage your own party by basically being in the way?
You know, I see what you're saying, and I'm not going to disagree with you, but I can also see it from the perspective of someone in that situation, that if you are the target of so much vitriol from the other party, to say, I'm not letting you back me down. I can see the logic behind that, too.
I can, but I don't agree with it.
Okay. Know?
And, I mean, even if it's my, I mean, listen, she's got to make $200,000 a year for the rest of her life.
Right.
Right? As a senator?
Congresswoman.
As a congresswoman. So, like, money, like, you're fine financially, right? Like, what are you doing this for? Right? I mean, what are you actually bringing to the table in terms of making life better for the people who live in this country? And right now, I think she's doing more harm than good.
Okay.
Listen, if she's doing great things, someone tell me. Please point out the great things she's doing.
I'm coming empty to the table with that. You said one thing that is so unbelievable that no one talks about it, but everyone who's elected to the Senate, the Congress, or the presidency or vice presidency gets their salary for the rest of their life. And it doesn't stop there. They get other governmental perks for life, like offices paid for and staff members paid for life, even when they're out of office.
Yep.
Now, the logic behind giving them their salary for the rest of their life is, if you're a former government employee with that kind of access, that you don't want that person to become destitute because that would make them. So that's the logic behind it.
You basically don't want that person to show up in Russia or China or whatever because they're paid more and they give access to
those foreign governments. So I get that, but I don't get the why you get, you know, this many staffers based on your years of experience.
Don't question it because I want to run for office. The more I think about it, I'm like, this is a really good idea, mostly just so I can get paid.
I talked about it before.
For me, I can't actually. I can't run for office. Just I can't. Yeah. Too many skeletons in the closet. I drink too much with you.
Yeah. Well, if I ever get asked questions like, "Do you drink too much?" It's just me. Yes, I do. And you know what? I'm still more effective than 90% of the people out there. So
there we go.
Take my whiskey away for a month and see what I do. Nothing. Or don't.
Cry in a corner.
There's probably yes. Joe Rogan and those guys just finished Sober October, and I thought that is something you and I will never do.
We might do. I think we need to do it.
Take a whole month off, no drinking, no nothing.
Yeah. See how healthy we get.
Well, October's passed, so you I got 10 months to make you forget about
we'll
it.
We'll do it. Well, listen, we'll do it next year. We'll do a sober October.
I'm not committing to this.
You should.
I'm thinking
we'll
about it.
We'll both be jacked and tan. I'm naturally tan.
You are naturally tan. Kind of. So am I.
You are.
You
Mexican terrorist.
All right. So anyway, yeah. So one interesting thing to me though about the election that I've not heard anyone else say anything about is. One of the newly elected Republican senators is Utah Senator Mitt Romney. John McCain passed away, and he was kind of the chief Republican thorn in the side of President Trump during his first term. I can see Mitt Romney taking that role over, and I don't think Mitt Romney is an ideologue. I actually, when he ran for governor of Massachusetts, I was there, and turns out I got the flu that day, so I did not vote. But I had every intention of voting for Mitt Romney in Massachusetts.
How dare you not vote?
I was throwing up.
How dare you?
And maybe the thought of voting for Mitt Romney is what was making me throw up. But I really don't think he's a bad politician or a bad person. I don't think he's a religious ideologue, which is something I would like to get out of our politics. And that's part of the reason I don't like Ted Cruz, is he's constantly thumping his Bible and he just... Ugh. I heard someone call it his nickname. Someone said his nickname in Washington is Fat Dracula. That's so not nice.
Oh my God. God, I hope that's true.
I do too.
God, I hope that's true. And that's just such a great name. Oh, here comes Fat Dracula.
Here comes Fat Dracula. Personal appearance should not be something we focus on, Steve.
It's a dude, it's fine.
Triumph the Insult Comic Dog went and visited Beto O'Rourke and Ted Cruz in Texas. Just Google it. It's hilarious. Obviously, we're not going to be playing it for you here, but it was hilarious to hear. And Ted Cruz actually made a joke back at Triumph. He said it was the Democrats that had him neutered.
So Ted Cruz actually, so as much as I can't stand him, he actually has had some funny snapbacks. Because there was a kid, do you remember the kid who played for Duke that looked like Ted Cruz? There was a kid who played for Duke like last year, and the kid's an asshole. Right.
Okay.
Like, I mean, he kicks people. This kid's an asshole. Someone said that, you know, they asked if Ted Cruz had ever played basketball in his life, but it was non-related. And Ted Cruz replied with a tweet of a picture of this kid and said, well, how do you like me now? Like, it was actually, it was funny. It was well-timed.
And didn't he accidentally retweet a porn thing once? That was Ted Cruz, wasn't
he
it?
He did.
That was...
He either retweeted or he liked
it. I think he liked it and it showed up.
And then they said, oh, it was a staffer. I'm like, oh,
fuck
okay,
off.
Okay.
Own it again. Own it. I guess you can't thump your Bible and be tweeting porn stuff. But
that's why I have our Whiskey Congress account, and then I have my own personal account. I do all the porn on my personal account, and I switch back to Whiskey Congress.
And if we did porn stuff again, I would say, okay, we're dudes.
Right. I mean, I would own it, but I try to keep it.
Thank
out.
You. Although, thank you. I don't
so
know
some of the.
I don't know what your particular is, taste in porn.
So maybe. Listen, we automate some of our Twitter feed and. I try to go through and filter out, like, you know, it automatically follows certain people and certain things. And the one day I was going through, and there was a very interesting account that we were following that was showing up in our timeline.
Did I like it?
I don't know.
I think I followed it somehow. Go ahead.
Oh, well, I unfollowed it.
Yeah,
because
I think you called me and said, how did we get this? I'm like, yeah, that could have been me.
Oh, that was interesting.
I don't even remember what it was.
Now listen, and I'm not judging you. Yeah. I'm not judging you, but listen. I mean, some of the things that if you look at my browser history are interesting.
Well, one of my favorite.
That's one that I was like, I don't know if we want anyone to see that we're following that.
Okay, yeah, I think I did it, but I didn't know what it was when I did it, and I know I'm making a Ted Cruz type excuse now. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite lines in the movie Suicide Squad is when Will Smith has the gun at the beginning, and the guy who gave him the gun says, "If he kills me, what is it? If he kills me, shoot him and clear my browser history."
Please.
All right.
Please.
All right. So,
can we make that pact? By the way.
Yes. Yes. If either of us dies, the other one will clear.
Right. I'm just gonna throw your computer out.
That's fine.
Are they gonna be able to hear that plane?
I don't think so. Yeah, maybe a little bit.
Jesus.
That's what happens when you live under the airport. Which is me, by the way. All right, so we've talked in the past, and we talked about whether or not Jeff Sessions would be gone once the midterms were over. I said yes. I think you said no. I think you said he would cling for dear life and yes. would not. Well, Sessions be gone.
He is out.
He's out as Attorney General, but didn't he get like a spot with as Assistant Chief of Staff or something like that?
Well, I didn't
see that. I think he's actually back in the White House now.
No way.
Are
you kidding?
Would I joke about this?
Well, no, you wouldn't, but...
Okay, we took a minute there to figure this out, and I am mistaken. What I misread was that his Chief of Staff became the Acting Attorney General, and that is a guy named Matthew Whitaker, who has stated that he will not recuse himself. Pelosi and Schumer, the people you just mentioned, I guess, have called for him to recuse himself. But I don't...
First of all, he's not going to be the permanent Attorney General. They're going to put someone else in there to fill that spot. Who it is, I don't know. I've heard, Chris Christie's name thrown out there and a couple other people. Christie's probably the most well-known person. Whoever this guy is, like, I don't think he'll be there long enough where it'll matter, right?
I don't know, but that puts him in a very powerful spot in terms of how he sits over the Mueller investigation, because he's not trying to get confirmed.
Right.
So he's now acting head of the Justice Department, and he can say...
So the question is, does he kibosh the whole thing?
I have to imagine he will be asked to. I don't think he can flat out slam the door on it. I mean, he can make life more miserable for Mueller. Mueller has been out of the news cycle, I think, by design, and I respect him for doing that.
Yeah, the news out of Washington is that he wasn't going to do anything basically from September until obviously after the midterms. Like he wanted to avoid a Comey situation where. We're arresting this person, we're talking to whatever,
right.
And then have it impact the election. So now, does that mean that something big is coming down the pipeline in the next month? I don't know. But I know he was intentionally laying low by design. Now, Mueller himself hasn't really been in the limelight.
True.
Right? I mean, a lot of people talk about him, and he's constantly brought up. The Rush Limbaughs and Breitbarts and Fox News constantly talk about him and try to demonize him, but he himself has stayed out of the spotlight. Now, what he's come up with, what he's fine, I don't know. And we've talked about this before. I think a majority of what this was all about was about Paul Manafort. A lot of it was about
the general, I'm trying to blank on his name.
Flynn.
Thank you.
General Flynn. I think that's a lot of what the initial stuff about Russia was. That's where it came from, right? And people are kind of losing sight of that. Like, that's what this was about.
And both of them have been convicted, by the way.
Right, and both of them have been convicted, and that's what this was about. And so the idea that, Mueller's going to find some... big smoking gun that directly ties Trump to Russia or whatever. I don't think it's there. I don't think he's going to find it. You may find a few other people who did some shady things along the way. But I don't think...
I mean, the total number of indictments in this is pretty substantial. It's like 23 or 27 or something.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there are a number of people who have definitely been caught up in this and who bent the rules. So the question is, what does all that mean? And I, honestly, for me, it doesn't mean anything because, listen, our government, and we've been doing shady shit for a long time, right? And politicians have been doing shady things. Like, this is not new, right? But Trump brought this fire to himself just because of his personality and the way, you know what I mean? Like, his tone. And so, is it fair? Probably not. But it's not fair. Life's not fair. Sorry. You know, I mean, and listen, you know how you could have avoided this? By closing your mouth. Shut the fuck up.
Not tweeting, not...
Right, and if you're a conservative and you support Trump, okay, fine. You can be as mad about it as you want, but he brought it on himself, right? Like, and so if he articulates himself better, if he controls himself better, then maybe you're not in this boat, but it is. And he brought it on himself. Now, to a degree, it hasn't mattered, right? Like, I mean, he's still able to do everything that he wants to do. He's got this...
In a way, it makes it more effective at getting things done policy-wise, because we're all looking at Russia and we're looking at sex tapes and Stormy Daniels tweets about calling her horse face and whatever. And from a policy standpoint, that doesn't mean shit. But...
Right. So, Stormy Daniels is hot, by the way.
What's that?
I said Stormy Daniels is pretty hot. I started following her on Instagram, and I am a big fan.
Okay.
I'm hoping that she comes to the Hustler Club in Cleveland, but I don't know if she'll come back to Ohio, given
her last trip here.
She was arrested last time she was here. But maybe that'll be our if she does come, if she comes in the next couple months, maybe that'll be our strip club night.
So, just a little inside baseball. Steve is a fan of strip clubs. I like naked women, but I'm not a frequenter of them. I think I've been to three in my life.
Weird.
But I've been on the road a lot, and we've agreed we're going to have a casino/strip club night sometime soon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I am not going to wait for Stormy Daniels to...
we don't have to wait for her. No, we
can do a part two if she shows up after we schedule the original one. And I thought we said we were going to go to Christie's, not Hustler Club. Although, I'm open to either. I watched People vs. Larry Flint again the other day, or at least excerpts of it, so...
I like the Hustler Club better.
Do you?
Right.
Okay.
But it doesn't matter. The food's better at Hustler Club, but we can... Whatever.
How can you eat at a nasty-ass strip club?
That's
a Chris Rock line. I haven't done one of those in a while. So Sessions is out. Whitaker's in. Things could get interesting with the Mueller probe. Time will tell. Things got definitely heated in the first presidential press conference after the election.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Acosta. Did you see the whole video? I did.
Yeah.
This is another one where I'm not going to say he was acting like a consummate professional. Now, the president was being his typical...
He was being himself.
Petulant, douchey self. And Acosta and he have a bad relationship, obviously. When you're getting called fake news and the enemy of the people, that tends to rub journalists the wrong way. He did definitely try to bully questions in after he was initially shot down. Some of the right-wing media, fast-forwarding ahead, he gets his credentials suspended, his White House credentials suspended, which I guess is their privilege to do. Having said that, I heard people say he, committed an egregious act with a female White House aide. He held onto a microphone when she tried to pull it away. He didn't assault anybody. I'm not saying he acted professionally, but to spin this as, this monster is out of control, which some of the right-wing media was doing when I was listening to it last night driving home from a comedy club, is ridiculous. I heard about it before I watched it, and when I saw it, I'm like, so the aide, she's doing her job. She's trying to take the mic away because it's what she was told to do. But please.
Yeah. it was, I think Jim Acosta is, he's frustrated. He's kind of at wit's end. He's constantly the target of Trump's, assault of, fake news. And now listen. CNN, again, talking about people bringing things on themselves, CNN has run some stories that have not been accurate, have not been correct. They've done retractions well after the fact, and they've done it multiple times, right? And so they feed, Trump feeds the narcissism of the media, and the media feeds the narcissism of Trump. They both, working with and against each other to a degree. And part of this is on CNN. They're putting this shit out there that isn't accurate, that's not right, that can be easily disproven, right? And they're not really, they've gone to the point where they've had to fire people. They have, and they've done that, but they've done it kind of, you know, in the background, right? And so
okay.
it's this is part of their problem, right? I mean, and he is kind of the figurehead for them because he's the person, he's their White House correspondent. And, you know, he's asking these questions, he's putting them out there, but then, you know, the CNN releases these stories that just aren't accurate, that aren't true, they're having to retract them, and they feed Trump's ability to say fake news CNN, right? It's fake. Yeah. And so they've created the problem, right, to a degree.
Do you think they've done it with false facts, though, or just putting opinion way ahead of...
No, they've done it with... some of the stories are just not true.
Right?
They're not vetted well. They're not accurate. And they put them out there and they have to retract them. And that's a problem for them. And this is where Trump is able to get away with saying fake news and the media is being unfair and they're just mean and, you know, all the dumb shit that he says because, he's right. He can point to there are multiple instances where CNN has had to retract stories and issue, you know, statements saying we put this out there and it wasn't right and it wasn't accurate.
So I've been very clear about my disdain for Fox News. CNN has lost a lot of my respect in the last couple months because I've been paying more attention to their... my opinions on the president have been well documented. Having said that...
You're not a fan.
I am not a fan. I wasn't a fan when he was a New York City Playboy in 1987. I thought he was a douche back then, and I'm not changing my mind.
Sticking to your guns.
Having said that, he's the president of the United States, right? You know, properly elected, and I've been paying a bit more attention to Don Lemon and Chris Cuomo in particular, and from a journalistic integrity standpoint, I'm not saying they put out lies, but their agenda is so obvious, and it's getting to the point where
Don Lemon's a lot worse than Chris Cuomo.
That's because Chris Cuomo was too busy talking about his workout routines, and that guy's a...
I love him.
Do you?
I love Chris Cuomo. Like, he's a douche, but I love him.
He's just... Okay, I'm fine with that.
But you know what? Part of the problem is that with me being from Youngstown, obviously, I grew up... Like, that's who I grew up with, right? Like that type of guy, just boisterous, ridiculous, you know, talking about how buff he is, and then... You know, we'll sprinkle in a little bit of intelligent conversation every now and again. Like, that's what I grew up with. So I love him and I hate him at the same time. But he's actually got a show on Sirius now.
Okay.
And it comes on. I think it's from like noon to like 2 o'clock. And every now and again, I'll catch it.
Is it like unedited, unfiltered?
Yeah.
Like he can drop an F-bomb if he wants to?
Yep.
Okay, good.
Celery. I mean, I don't think he will. I think he tries to
keep it CNN.
He tries to keep it clean. But, you know, just listening to him talk, I mean, it cracks me up.
Right? What's his phrase? Let's get after it or
let's, what? I don't even know.
Ever since, I want to say it was a John Oliver show on HBO, pointed out how strongly he goes with that catchphrase, it now just rings in my head, and it's made me not like him. I mean, I get it. Is he, you know where he's from? He strikes me as a New York City guy.
Yeah, he's a New
Cuomo
York guy.
Okay. Is he Andrew Cuomo's kid?
I don't know. That's a great question. I've wondered that, but
I've never bothered to look it up.
I know he... has money, but he works for CNN. So
yeah. Oh yeah.
I don't know if he came from money or not. So, you know, I don't know a lot about him, but he does. Like he just.
He would be Mario Cuomo's kid, Andrew Cuomo's brother or cousin or whatever. If depending on what they're. Well, anyway, his credentials have been suspended. I think that.
Cuomo's.
No, Acosta's. Acosta's. I'm sorry. Big picture, it does bother me that our president does not act in a presidential manner and that journalists are getting kicked out for saying things that make the president unhappy. I'm trying to think of another example. Like, I used to love Helen Thomas. If you don't know who Helen Thomas is, she was this little old lady who was a White House correspondent forever. Mm-hmm. And she was just a bulldog. I mean, she would ask questions. It was like getting grilled by your librarian. I used to love this lady. I mean, she was pretty aggressive with Bush, very aggressive with Bush, never lost a spot. Can you think of anyone during the Bush administration or Obama administration losing their credentials based on a spat with the president?
There was a thing with Obama and Fox. Now that I think about it, And it got pretty ugly, and I eventually it was.
He never called them fake news, even though they're.
No, I mean it got pretty ugly with Obama and Fox. Now, conservatives will tell you that Obama was very was not particularly nice to the press, and that he was, you know, very aggressive towards. Listen, Obama, like, and I want to kind of dispel this, because Obama went after people, like, so the issue was he went after sources, right? Like, so people would leak information to the news, and he would say, all right, well, how did that get out? There's only so many people who could know these particular things. So he would go to the journalists and say, who told you, right? And the journalists were like, we're not giving up our sources, right? And so then he would just kind of dig in and figure out who it was. And the people who leaked, he would go after. And people in the media said, well, that's an assault on the media. Like, well, no. I mean, he did ask you for your source, which probably shouldn't do, right? I mean, so that's that in and of itself is wrong.
You can ask, but you have to take no for an answer.
Right, you have to take no for an answer. But he did. So one of the people that, you know, it's funny. If you, I mean, because conservatives will tell you, attacked him, blah, blah, blah. Who did he go after? Like, Chelsea Manning. He put Chelsea Manning in jail, right? And then let her out. But listen, I mean, what was his original name?
I don't remember.
Either way, the dude spent 7 years in jail, right? But the reason
why he was in trouble, because you called him a dude. Way to go.
Dude, girl, whatever. I mean, either way, he spent 7 years in jail. And Obama went after him because he was leaking sensitive information. And it's the same. I think that if me and you have a private conversation, right, and then you go and tell someone, right, and then I'm not going to go after the person who reported it. I'm going to go after you. Like, what the fuck are you doing, right? It's no different. And these are, you know, private, classified, you know, whether it's good or bad or whatever, like, when you are in that position to have that information, you shouldn't be telling it to reporters, right? And everyone, well, like, everyone agrees with it as long as it fits their narrative, right? Like, it was bad for Obama to do, but it's okay for Trump to, like, it's not okay to fucking leak information. Keep your fucking mouth shut.
Well, the thing about Obama.
Snitches get stitches, damn it, Jim.
Yeah, well, tell that to Whitey Bulger. Or don't.
He got a whole lot of stitches.
Yeah, oh my gosh. The thing is that if you view Chelsea Manning or WikiLeaks or Edward Snowden as if you view them as whistleblowers who are doing the right thing, which the Obama administration acted like they would be friendly to, and then they were not. But if you believe that they're doing the right thing, if you believe it's their constitutional duty to tell you what when your government is lying
to
you.
So did Snowden do the right thing? Was he doing the right thing?
If you make me give a one-word answer, my knee-jerk answer is yes, although I would need to look into it more.
And honestly, I think I'm the bad guy here. I'm
you're protecting government secrets for the sake of the government?
Yeah. All right. I'm the bad guy. And it's probably, you're right. You're probably right. It's probably we should protect whistleblowers, but and if you say you're going to protect them, then you should.
That's
at the same time, I have trust and loyalty is the thing that matters to me, whether right or wrong.
Oh, me too.
And that's just where I have an issue with
it. And I think if you asked, in fact, I know if you asked Eric Snowden, you know, why he did it, he said he felt like his loyalty was to the American people, not to the government agency that hired him, and he felt they were acting illegally, and it was his moral and legal imperative to call it out.
Right. Go fuck yourself.
Okay.
No, but you know what I mean. Like that's and that's where I think I know I'm wrong. I know I'm wrong, but it doesn't change the fact how I feel.
I think you can say what they say: hate the sin, not the sinner. I think in this case, you can hate the sinner, not the sin. So you can say, I don't like what the person did in terms of their disloyalty and their breaking their oath, but the net goal of getting transparency out there is a good thing.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I guess that's the Youngstown in me coming out. You know, we just...
Yeah, look, Buffalo and Youngstown are pretty much the same town. I get you. I mean, I'm a fiercely loyal person, and I don't like it when I've been betrayed a few times in my life. But I also, you know, can separate myself from what is, you know, who is my loyalty to if I'm Eric Snowden? And if it's to the American people and you think they deserve to know something, then I can see that logic.
Where is he? He's in Russia.
Right. The last time he made a public appearance, it was in Russia. Where he is now, who knows? And boy.
I mean, I know he's alive. I know he's alive.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. Well, no, I don't. Wait, what the fuck am I saying? No, I don't. I mean, I think he is.
He's in the safe hands of Vladimir Putin. Yeah, sleep tight with that one.
Can we reach out? You know what we need to do? We need to reach out to Vlad and see if he'll do an interview with us. He won't. It'll go nowhere.
We should. I really don't want to.
You
want to
get mixed up in that bag?
I truly don't. I mean, we're not on his radar, but I'll bet the man could party. Holy shit! I'll bet. I mean,
come on, let's do it.
I love Russian women. Am I willing to get poisoned with some radioactive isotope to do
it? If he drops it in a good bottle of vodka, then hey, maybe it's worth it. I don't know.
Vlad.
Good vodka and an onion. It's a good time.
Well, anyway, we'll see how the thing with the press and CNN play out with Trump over the next couple of weeks. And we got to talk about, you know, we talk about cannabis on this show.
Weed!
And it is now legal in a state that borders ours.
Yeah, I was just Michigan. There. I was just in Michigan.
Yeah, that's right.
Last week for that powerlifting
game. It wasn't legal then.
It was not. It is now. That's good.
So here's my thing.
Tell me your thing.
I don't believe I'm about to go down this road, but I'm going to. I've never smoked weed in my life. I've talked about that on the show. Absolutely 100% true. It's all around me. I mean, I've got so many friends who use THC on a regular basis. I've fully acknowledged that my reasons for not having ever done it were professional, because I run the risk of getting drug tested, and legal, because if I get a drug-related arrest on my record, it could hurt me very badly professionally.
Because of all the 40-year-old white guys getting arrested for weed, but
sure, there's that.
Please proceed.
But, well, this could be a weekend. I could drive legally, I believe, to Michigan.
You can drive legally to weed. You can drive legally to Michigan.
You cut the middleman out of this. Right. But I could legally drive to Michigan and consume cannabis and not be breaking the law. So then if I did not have an upcoming drug test, this could be a Whiskey Congress road trip.
Do you have an upcoming drug test?
No, but I never know when I'm going to get one.
But if
I'm on a long-term project where I've already been told I don't need one, or it depends who I'm working with and how much time I'm taking off and all that fun stuff. And I don't know anything about the Michigan law other than it's now legal recreationally. I don't know if you need to be a state resident. I don't know if, it's going to take 6 months for them to have dispensaries set up and all that fun stuff.
Well, so here's a little fun fact. I'm going to drop this on you now. I didn't get a chance to tell you before, but National Marijuana News is a website that covers national marijuana news, everything weed related. And, you know, there's some people that you and I know who work through that site, and they want to kind of piggyback off of us and do a Facebook Live session talking about legalized weed and kind of the state, and maybe, you know, we'll do just a short session with them on Facebook and maybe even have them on the show. And I think it's important, because this whole cannabis thing, it's obviously it's coming to a head, right?
Yeah.
And
Jefferson Borgard Sessions being removed.
With Jeff Sessions out, it'll be interesting to see where it goes. Now, I think that Trump, it'll be interesting to see how aggressive Trump is with this. It'll be interesting to see if he actually moves on it. Of all the things he can do from a policy standpoint, like, I honestly don't give a fuck about a wall. Like, build one or not, I don't give a shit. If you do another round of tax cuts, okay, fine. Maybe it'll help, maybe it won't. But, I mean, all that shit doesn't matter. One of the biggest things that he can do from a policy standpoint is get marijuana away from that Schedule I designation and legalize it, right? I mean, and then let's do something to help the number of people that have been incarcerated because of it, right? I mean, like a lot, I mean, how many, like think about it, like how many of your white friends smoke weed all the time and have had no, it's impacted their lives, none, right? Like no arrests, no nothing. And then you flip around, the number of black people that are sitting in jails and prisons for, you know, amounts of weed that your friends smoke on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Right.
And Steve, smoke outside.
Right.
Like,
sitting in the backyard, just having a nice time. You know, I mean, you and I sitting here drinking whiskey, they smoke weed on the front porch.
Yep.
Right. And that's not right.
Right. Well, the thing is, they can hide it because a lot of them are vaping. So you can't. Now, I have seen people with joints also, but. You know,
joints, bowls, bongs, whatever. Okay,
no, fine. I'm saying but in terms I, of the, yeah, the visual. Yes,
you can hide it, but the point is, people are still going. Like, I have a friend right now who called me and said, you know, I got pulled over and I had a decent amount of weed on me. What do I do? You know, and I'm just like, I'm helping him through.
Don't disclose it.
Right. Like,
did you get arrested for it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm helping him through that from a legal situation right now. From a legal standpoint, but I feel terrible because he shouldn't have been.
Was he in Ohio or was he in a different state?
No names. No, we won't get into it. He was in Ohio.
Okay.
He was in Ohio. It's problematic. He's got a situation, but there's some issues with the stop. Basically, if what he's telling me is accurate in terms of the way the stop went down, then there's some challenges there from a legal standpoint that we may be able to get him out of this. But the fact that it's even an issue... Right, I mean, the fact that, you know what I mean, like basically it should have been the equivalent of when I go and buy whiskey or you and I go buy whiskey, and it's in our car, as long as it's not open, it should be fine, right? Like, I mean, he wasn't high at the time, it wasn't, you know, whatever, but it's just frustrating that this is still an issue. So this is one of the biggest things that Trump can do, and listen, if he does it, I have to give him credit for it.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
I would absolutely give him credit for it. It's one of the best things that he can do from a policy standpoint. And it's one of those things that he can do to close the gap of discord that we have in this country, I think.
Yeah, I think, you know, it weed is such a funny political football because old white people talk about it as if it is the most awful, you know, it's
reefer madness.
Equivalent to heroin, reefer madness, all that crazy shit. Young white people and pretty much everyone else says it is absolutely no worse than alcohol. It's probably actually a lot healthier and safer than alcohol. It really, I mean, the gateway drug argument is bullshit. And I'll tell you, so something kind of, Ohio has statewide decriminalized marijuana, but there are local places that have it as up to a misdemeanor. We talked about it on a previous show. I actually had I talked previously about the new season of the Serial podcast, and the arrest that they describe, basically the police beat the shit out of a guy and found a blunt in his pocket, claimed in one case they claimed they smelled pot they confiscated and charged someone with. In the other case they claim they saw a bulge in his pocket, which I don't know why that's legal cause, but this is all a way to put a charge on someone so that they have a bargaining tool to get away with the fact that the police physically brutalized somebody. I mean, in one case, the guy got his orbital bone broken. And there's
you know how hard it is to break a face bone?
It's not easy.
And people don't understand. I mean, like, you have to hit someone with such force to break their face.
If you're using a nightstick or a
boot. Right. I mean, that's just awful.
Yeah. And actually, the Serial podcast changed the way I voted because they did an in-courtroom recording of Judge Gall. And I don't know if he won or not, but I voted for his opponent because I listened to this guy's courtroom manner and said, this guy's a prick. Now, I'm sure in his mind, he's a tough love kind of guy. He talks about how much he gives people probation, not sending them straight to jail, because you've got someone in probation and, you know, you can control their bad behaviors and hopefully steer them away, whatever. But just the way he handled that, the lack of compassion, the smug dickishness and display of power, I mean, he had one guy in his courtroom, and a lot of times these defendants created a lot of their own troubles. I'm not saying, you know, showing up, you know, missing court dates.
Jim, I was a public defender.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
well, all right, for the audience, though. It's,
right, I mean, when you're a public defender, you are, it's a labor of love, to say the least, you know? I mean, you know, you want to talk about people creating their own circumstances to a degree. You know, I literally dealt with it every single day.
And how much of it revolved around weed?
Oh, a lot.
I would think so.
A lot. I mean, in Chicago Chicago's a mess. I mean,
for a variety of reasons.
And
but you know, if you take the criminality out of possessing and consuming cannabis, and start getting people's records expunged and giving them a chance to get back into life, I think you're helping out so many people.
You are, and that's why
and this I'm is from such, the non-weed guy,
right? I mean, that's why I'm such an advocate of it.
Me too.
Right? And it's not because like I just sit at home and smoke weed all day. It literally, I think it could change the face of our country. Now, listen, we still got a lot of problems, and we still have a lot of problems with drugs, right?
Sure.
Here's a question for you. How did you vote on issue one?
I voted yes. Oof. So you better
No.
Why would I not vote? What, to decriminalize?
So here's my issue with issue one.
Please describe it, because people listening
so
need to know.
What it did was it...
What it didn't do.
Well, right. Did it pass?
No.
No, it didn't pass.
Failed badly.
Good. And that's a good thing, I think.
Okay, please explain, because I'm shocked to hear you say that.
Well, here the key. All right, so what issue one did was, essentially it decriminalized a lot of like possession and drug and things like that.
And
here was my issue with issue one.
Okay.
The fentanyl, that line about fentanyl, that 19 grams. Right, fentanyl is a lethal drug. You are an engineer, biochemist, whatever.
I'm a chemical engineer, and I've worked in facilities that manufacture fentanyl. All
right. Fentanyl's lethal.
Yeah.
In minimal amounts, right?
Yes. Do you know what the reason that drug was developed was?
No.
It was, so fentanyl is...
Why did we need it?
Here's the intended use of fentanyl. Fentanyl is intended to be used for people who are... It's an opioid analgesic, an opioid painkiller. So it's equivalent to morphine, heroin, whatever. Much, much more potent. It was originally designed to be in things like lollipops and other things where people were so feeble, they're in agony, but they're so feeble that and their veins are so shitty that they can't even get injections. So they can literally lick a lollipop and dose and control and manage their pain.
Jesus Christ, that sounds like an awful idea.
Well...
I mean, I get
if you're
it,
90 years old and you got
stage 4
cancer and you don't want to live
it.
In misery for your, you know, as your feeble body is failing you.
I'm definitely, you know, Monday morning quarterbacking it, but wow, that was a bad idea. But that aspect of the 19 grams of fentanyl, that's where I got, because it's like you can have up to 19 grams of fentanyl and have it not
a misdemeanor.
Have it be a misdemeanor. Like, whoa. Do you know what, like 19 grams of fentanyl, how many people can that kill? Think about that.
I don't know, but I would bet you a gram of fentanyl could kill you.
Oh, it absolutely can.
When you consider how much a gram is roughly
right,
the weight of a paperclip.
Listen, you don't need a gram of fentanyl to kill someone, right? Like, I mean, it's a...
I should look up the pharmacology of it before I say that, but
it's a minimal amount, and I'm not a chemist, I'm not a bio...
Pharmacologist in this case.
Biopharmacologist or whatever you are, but
if it making these little digs makes you feel better about yourself, good for you.
I do.
Okay.
I do. But the point is, like, that really hung me up, because I just like, how can we sit here and say we're addressing the opioid crisis epidemic problem, and we're saying the one thing that we know for a fact is killing people, we can say you can have any amount of it.
Well, but I
if you have 19 grams of it, if you have 19 grams of fentanyl, I promise you, you are not a user. You are lacing it in weed. You are lacing it in cocaine. You are lacing it in heroin, and you are killing people, right? And like
okay, I mean,
period. Like, if you have that much fentanyl, right? If you have fentanyl and you just have, it's like I catch you with a vial of fentanyl, I refuse to believe that, I'm just using this for personal use. Go fuck yourself. No, you're not. You know how I know you're not? Because you're standing here.
The reason why I voted for it is because it decriminalized and basically tried to switch the opioid epidemic from a criminal one to a healthcare one.
It's fine, but there's just better ways to do it.
So right now we're status quo because it failed.
It did.
And status quo ain't good. Maybe issue one. Maybe issue one wasn't better. I don't know.
It wasn't because I think you were literally swapping. I mean, you were trading. There were a number of things. It was also, and Mike Wood and I had text back and forth on this. But, the one thing he brought out was the corruptibility of it because, certain money had to go, the money saved would have had to have gone to, certain drug rehabilitation centers and things like that.
Right.
And he said, he and I both agreed that, listen, that's already corrupt. Right. If this passes, it'll be corrupt before the ink is dry. Right. I mean, because it's going to go to certain centers. And then what are those centers going to do with the money? There were a number of pitfalls with it. The way it was written, I really don't think it solved anything.
It didn't pass. I want to say 60-40-ish. It was not particularly close.
In my opinion, I think it was that's right. Now, come back to the table. Better idea. More thought out. I think we have to look at you look at this fentanyl issue and you say this. If you get caught with this, any amount of this, that is something that we have. Listen, weed is not going to kill you unless it's laced with fentanyl. Right?
Yeah. I don't know the people. Is that a thing? Lacing weed with fentanyl?
Absolutely.
I know.
Jim, absolutely.
Well, people use it to. The reason fentanyl has become a problem.
Fentanyl is killing people.
Yes.
Because.
But it's opioid users, typically.
No, it's not. That's wrong. That's not accurate. Fentanyl, people are lacing this shit in. They're putting it in weed. People are smoking weed thinking that they're just getting the herb. And it's laced with this fucking chemical, and it's killing them. They're smoking it like they would anything else. That's
you're more in tune with that than me because you work with.
Oh, because I'm black.
Yes, because you're black.
Oh, word. No, I'm kidding. It's something that I see in my population.
Okay.
And so,
anyone who is giving someone fentanyl without their knowledge should be charged with attempted murder.
Listen, the number. So I have the stats.
That's too strong.
So I was just at the Ohio Housing Conference, and I sat in on a session of opioid about the opioid crisis and how it impacts housing. Okay. And it's something that I deal with because I work for a public housing agency, and it's something that we see in our properties all the time, and the numbers were staggering. In terms of the number of opioid deaths amongst the black community because they don't know what they're getting.
Just the black community. All the way through Hollywood.
Well, so here's the thing. It's being, when you talk about the opioid crisis and you talk about who's dying, the narrative is to say that finally we're looking at it as a healthcare thing because it's affecting the suburbs and the white people and blah, blah, blah. But what's lost in it is that, yes, black people are still dying from this.
Sure.
Right. It's impacting black people as well, and to a further degree. And that is actually no one is actually looking at it. And the reason it is because it's being put in these other drugs that people are getting. And we can talk about, we need to get people off of drugs and we need to, the reality is, man, if I'm just going to go get a blunt and I think I'm just getting weed, but it's laced with fucking fentanyl. That is
attempted murder is probably too strong of a way to say it, but
no, it's not. I don't think it is, but no one is actually looking at it like that, not enough people are looking at it like that, and I think that that's something that we, as a society, have to embrace and have to figure out, and we really need to say, all right, I don't have a problem with weed, but I do have a problem with fentanyl. We need to prove it in the way that we legislate.
Yeah, and if you look at the cycle, I'll try to make this real quick, but the cycle goes basically for years and years, pharmaceutical companies manufactured opioid analgesics, Percocet, Vicodin, that kind of drug. Doctors prescribed them at will. They became recreational drugs. People were using them, abusing them, easily getting them refilled. The government, people were overdosing. The government recognizes a problem. I left out OxyContin, which is actually the biggest part of the problem. So then the government said, clamp down. We're going to make it really tough to get this stuff. And then people still wanted to get their fix, so they went to heroin in the streets, and heroin was coming over from the border in Mexico, among other things, and probably coming from Afghanistan through other ports. So heroin became tougher and tougher to get over the border as law enforcement cracked down on that. Enter fentanyl. Fentanyl is getting marketed as heroin, but it's 50 times more potent. And the way opioids kill you is they basically shut down your central nervous system.
You forget to do stuff like breathe.
Yeah. Well, your body just...
Yeah.
You get high, but right. Then your body says, and my heart doesn't need to be going that fast, and my lungs don't need to be right. working so good. And it's oddly, it's treatable. Narcan, there's yep. a drug that can basically snap you back from it because it tells your body to stop.
They receiving. Gave it out at the conference.
Did they really?
They gave out Narcan at the conference. Wow. I have a
dose of Narcan.
I have a dose of Narcan in my truck right now. That they gave out at the conference because they said, listen, this is how...
That's how fuck... That shocks the hell out of me. That's fucking crazy.
They said, this is how serious this is. They said, if you don't have this with you at all times, you are doing a disservice to the people you serve and the people around you because I guarantee you... the woman said, she said, I guarantee you that someone around you is abusing opioids. And this may be your ability to save their life. And it was, I mean, and she, like, she's got a basket, and she walked around, and she literally
That's handed crazy. Them
out. I'm like, are you fucking insane? Right? Like, I mean, I don't even know what the cost of that was.
Probably not as much as you'd think.
Either way.
It's not cheap, but probably, but I would guess $20
a dose. The fact that she was able to give those, like, she gave those out, and I'm sitting there, and I'm holding this.
I'm amazed like, that that's legal. I mean, good. I'm not objecting to it, but she's giving you something that would be typically given by police or emergency responders.
Right, and working in housing.
Yeah, you could come
in on and listen, I do it. I mean, we have a housing project right up the street yeah. from your house.
Yeah,
and I do. You know, I have to do random things in the units and things like that. But I mean, I could have easily at any point in time. Walk into someone's apartment and they could be overdosed.
Yeah, and you probably have, I don't know what the time frame is, but it's not days; it's minutes to hours
yeah.
before if you don't get this to stop, impacting their central nervous system, they're gonna die.
Right.
And once you go flatline, I don't think they can do anything about you. I mean, you remember that story from me a couple years ago when that guy was passed out in my church. Parking lot,
mm-hmm.
and I called the cops because originally I'm like, it's some drunk. I'm downtown, whatever. It wasn't my church. It was the church I was going to, and I was downtown. And I thought, you know what? I better call 911 because this dude could be, ODing.
Yeah.
And this is before the opioid thing was really on my mind. Now I did stick around, and the police were able to wake him up. So he was probably just drunk, but I mean, I made that call because I thought if this guy's ODing and I didn't want to. Make the phone call, then my negligence could cause someone to die. And it's now that much worse and that much more, in society.
Yeah.
All right, man, I was talking about Judge Gall and we ended up down this road, but I voted against the guy. I did not check to see if he won or not. I hope the Serial podcast exposed this guy for being what he was and people can choose to, choose to support him because they think the tough love, talk, to people,
and I'm mixed on that because I've been in front of a number of judges, and so obviously they take on their own person.
Right.
They have a personality. They're human, and I don't know if what you describe tells me that he's a bad judge, right? I mean, because I've been in front of bad judges, and. Some of the stuff that you're saying, like, it's not appealing, but I'm not going to necessarily say that he's a bad judge because of that. I've seen, a bad judge to me is a guy who, says, all right, I could sentence you to X, but I'm going to sentence you to infinitely more just because I don't like you, where you came from, or who you represent,
or
in my mind,
or how you came dressed to court.
Right. I mean, like, there's certain things that you have to look for. So some of the acts and some of the antics you put up with, if they're fair. Right. I mean, right. It's like, all right, so you make me feel bad in court. And at the end of the day, listen, I'm in court because I did something stupid. Right. In most of the cases, not all, but in a lot of the cases. And so if, you know, I walk out and I've been chastised, then OK, as long as I got a fair sentence.
Right. Right. And the flip side of that is fairly. He did give out a lot of probation. So he did have the logic that putting you in jail versus putting controls on your life is, you know, it's better to put controls on your life and have you being productive in society and getting a job than throwing you behind bars. So there could be something to that, but just, he rubbed me the wrong way, and I was in the voting booth, and I saw that name, and I thought, you don't get my vote. I'll give someone else a chance to do that job and do it better, and if I learn more about that person's antics, if they actually won, then maybe I'll say I voted for the wrong person. But what's really weird is I'm voting for a judge. This is the first time I've ever voted for a judge and had the first damn clue who I was voting for.
Yeah.
And actually, the prosecutor in the case that I was a juror for was running for a judgeship.
Did you vote for that person?
I voted against her.
Really?
I did.
Why?
I did. Because, well, do you remember what I was like during that case?
Yes.
It was not healthy.
I would meet you for lunch.
Yes, and see me looking like I'd...
Right.
Oh, it's horrible. And the reason I did...
The only thing you wanted to do was drink, was have a drink, and you couldn't?
And I couldn't. Did I tell you that I asked the judge if I would get arrested if I had a drink?
And I also told you that was a terrible thing to say.
Okay. Well, I did it. All right. You want to wrap it up on that?
Yes.
Terrible ideas by Jim. So email me, Jim@WhiskeyCongress, or email Steve@WhiskeyCongress.com, of course. We are at Whiskey Congress on all social media. I don't like to brag, but I'm going to. We have seen a huge boost in our numbers lately, so thank you for listening.
Absolutely.
Please reach out to us.
We're on Twitter, and people have been interacting with us a lot on Twitter, which is very fun.
Some of them more fun than others.
Right. But, you know, we try to interact with as many people as we can in real time. And so let's keep it going.
Keep that going. Thank you once again for listening to Whiskey Congress. We're out.